Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and today we're going to be talking about life care planning. This is a topic that we have not covered on the show yet before. And as I thought about who would be a great person to interview on this topic, Linda Husted immediately came to mind. Linda has worked for my legal nurse consulting business for several years before I sold the company. And we had the opportunity to meet at a Northeast Regional AALNC conference several years ago that was held in Massachusetts. She has a Master's of Public Health degree. She's been practicing as a registered nurse for 51 years. Oh, Linda, that's a long time. Wow. She has 18 years of hospital experience in neurointensive care, medical surgical nursing, operating room, recovery room, and labor and delivery, and more than 30 years of experience in case management, including handling catastrophic claims with head injury, spinal cord injury, burns, amputation, multiple trauma, and chronic pain. She obtained legal nurse consulting certification as an LNCC in 1999. She's also got a certified nurse life care planner, a certified case manager, a CDMS, and a CRC. And I'll ask you, Linda, in a minute to explain those. And then in 2003, she obtained her life care planning certification and went into business at the age of 60. Wonderful. You're inspiring to me, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Pat. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today and also to speak with your listeners.
And tell us about CDMS and CRC, since I was not fluent in being able to decipher those certifications.
Sure. Certification, the CDMS is Certification in Disability Management. So it would be a Disability Management Specialist certification. And a CRC is a Certified Rehabilitation Specialist.
Okay.
Rehabilitation Counselor Specialist.
You certainly have a lot of certifications to keep up with.
Yes, I do. And that also involves continuing education that you have to continue to train as well as listen to seminars, webinars, and go to conferences so that you can develop those continuing education credits in order to become recertified in all those different areas.
Mm-hmm. I know that some of our listeners are not familiar with life care planning. They certainly may not be life care planners, or they might not really understand the role of the life care planner. Could you explain for our listeners what your role is, first, when you're working for a plaintiff attorney, and secondly, when you're working for a defense attorney?
All right. The role of the life care planner is to project lifetime medical and non-medical needs and costs for an individual who has a major or catastrophic injury or chronic medical condition. It really doesn't matter whether you're working for the plaintiff or the defense. As an expert, your plan should be basically the same. The individual may have had a toxic exposure, such as to lead. It may be a case involving failure to diagnose, such as cancer or cystic fibrosis, or the life care plan may be for spinal cord injury, burns, amputation, or traumatic brain injury. Take Baby Q, for instance. Baby Q's mother went into labor at 7 months. At delivery, he was a double footling breech presentation. And instead of delivering Baby Q by C-section, the obstetrician delivered Baby Q vaginally. Baby Q's delivery involved a difficult extraction, and after delivery of his body, he had head entrapment for approximately 15 minutes. And as a result, Baby Q had a long period of lack of oxygen and subsequently developed intraventricular brain hemorrhage and seizures. He sustained a significant brain injury, respiratory problems resulting in permanent disabilities, including blindness. He had developmental delays and required lifetime care, supports from multiple specialists, diagnostic testing, medications, and equipment. Baby Q needed a life care plan. In legal terms, a life care plan addresses future medical damages. Life care planners do not render an opinion on standard of care or liability issues. We focus instead on providing a detailed plan with costs in today's dollars. And typically the plan provides costs of all the goods and services needed as an annual figure. The lifetime cost can then be determined by multiplying the annual cost of care by the individual's life expectancy. Whether the plan is for the plaintiff side or defense side, the life care planner's projections should include goods and services related to the injury that are both reasonable and medically necessary.
Well, Linda, sometimes I know that defense attorneys will contact a life care planner and ask for an analysis of the plaintiff life care plan. In other words, can that defense life care planner shoot down some of the numbers that the plaintiff life care planner has provided? Have you been involved in receiving that kind of a request?
Oh, yes, definitely. Critiques of a plaintiff life care plan, yes.
And I know that sometimes there's a motivation behind the defense attorney's request. What is behind that type of request?
Well, I think it's involving the future medical damages. I think they want to control the amount of damages, the cost, the final cost. And so they're going to be looking for the life care planner to review the plaintiff plan to see if the final numbers can be lower. And so basically, it usually involves a review of the plan and the records and then a telephone call before writing any plan or critique to discuss my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I know that we talked in the bio about how you have experience working in a hospital. Going from a hospital setting to life care planning and case management is a big transition. How did you get involved as a life care planner?
Well, how I got involved as a life care planner is back in the mid-1980s. I had already made the move from acute care hospital work into case management. I worked for a national rehabilitation company called Intracore, and some of Intracore's customers were national companies or corporations. And these customers not only provided workers' comp insurance to their employees, but also offered group health insurance for their employees' non-work-related health conditions. These companies asked Intracore for help in determining how much their large, complex health claims were going to cost. They had to figure out how much each of these large claims cost so they could reserve enough money and understand their financial exposure. So we call them lifetime medical cost reports. I remember the case of a 35-year-old woman who had an inflammatory bowel condition called Crohn's disease. She had surgery and only had 1 foot of small intestine remaining of the normal 20 feet. She could not eat or digest well and required very expensive specialized nutritional support. The employer needed us to figure out all of her future costs for care. And then in the 1990s, I worked for two large insurance companies. Claims adjusters had to set up reserves for complex and catastrophic injury claims. Occasionally, I provided lifetime medical reserves for them. And these reports were internal documents and not as detailed as life care plans for litigation. In 2003, while providing a medical chronology, the records included a life care plan, and the plan was for a young man who sustained a brain injury as a post-operative complication for jaw surgery. I remember it well. And in order to reduce the intraoperative bleeding in the surgical field, hypotensive anesthesia keeps blood pressure below normal. The anesthesiologist lowered this man's blood pressure during his procedure. However, the duration of the lower than normal blood pressure continued after surgery into the post-anesthesia room, and this man ended up with an anoxic brain injury resulting in a lifetime of medical care. After reviewing this plan, which I had never seen a plan for litigation before, I said, "Ooh, I want to do this." I decided to take a course in nurse life care planning. I used vacation time to take the training. I then obtained my certification as a nurse life care planner and filed for an S-Corp in December of 2003. 3 months later, I resigned my full-time job as a case manager and began my business.
So thinking about your background, Linda, you went from being an employee to becoming self-employed. Obviously, that's a big transition, and for many people, that's a risk that they are intrigued about taking and possibly intimidated about taking. What personal qualities enabled you to take that risk and also to become successful as a life care planner?
Well, I would say, first of all, at the outset, I never planned on going into business for myself, so it was a progression in time. But I would say one of the qualities that contributed to my success is working hard, giving 110% in almost everything I do. I do not try to work hard. It's not a quality I try to develop. But I think it's just in my nature that I want to do the best job I can. Certainly, computer skills help make our lives easier, but I still work hard. Another quality is a thirst for self-improvement. In business, my goal is continuously improve, but there's always room for that. But when I was working, before I went into business for myself, I was working as a dedicated rehabilitation specialist for the entire state of Ohio. My job required extensive driving crisscrossing the state. My time in the car between appointments was my time. While driving, I spent hours and hours listening to self-improvement tapes, such as Anthony Robbins and tapes from Nightingale Conant, the world's largest publisher of personal development products. I joined Toastmasters International to improve my listening, thinking and speaking skills. Toastmasters is a good laboratory to try out your presentation skills in a supportive environment. The thirst for self-improvement also means being open to instruction from others. For example, Pat, when I did work for you in your previous business, you made many suggestions on how to sharpen my writing skills. Nurses coming from an acute care background are not naturally authors. Life care plan narratives are a long way off from the nurse's notes we wrote in the hospital, 50% of which were probably in the passive voice. There's always room for improvement with writing skills. And another quality is having a positive attitude. This is always helpful. I think seeing the glass half full instead of half empty is in my nature. I didn't try to develop this quality. I know that it has helped in my relationships, working with customers and clients, resolving sticky issues. I'm sure I developed customer service skills over the years that are helpful. In the end, though, being authentic, I see the best in people until proven wrong. A positive attitude colors everything you do.
Well, I can attest from working with you, Linda, that you are conscientious and always interested in improving your work product. And those are critical qualities for becoming successful in this field. I also connect with you in terms of using that time in the car to learn. I've spent a large portion of my life driving and thinking and listening and learning by listening to audio programs such as the ones that you're describing. And I think that's a great point to bring out in this program, is that we have so many opportunities to fit in time to enrich ourselves. Instead of watching television or watching a movie, you could be reading a book, developing skills, learning, and all of that is helpful when you're an entrepreneur.
Definitely.
I'd like to switch the focus a little bit. You talked about beginning to work as a life care planner after leaving your business. What would you recommend that life care planners do now to begin to get clients to build a practice?
For somebody new who's just beginning as a life care planner?
Yes.
I would recommend that they join as many organizations as possible, such as joining the American Association of Nurse Life Care Planners, or the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants, even the local chapter of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. Volunteer within the organization. When I first started in business, I really didn't have any customers. I met with the then president of the New Jersey chapter of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants at a life care planning conference. Speaking with her at one of the breaks convinced me I had to meet some of the phenomenal LNCs in her chapter. At the time, New York did not have a chapter, so I traveled 6 hours round trip to the monthly dinner meetings in New Brunswick, New Jersey. I met some amazing nurse entrepreneurs, and I still do business with a couple of them today. One of the nurses I met at the New Jersey chapter and I co-exhibited at a New York trial attorney's meeting, and we both came away with referrals. I would recommend going to as many conferences as you can, not only to keep current in your field of interest, but also to meet people. You never know who you may meet who knows an attorney who has a need for your services in your geographical location. I received referrals in the past just by networking at conferences. Write an article. Publish an article of interest to life care planners. When I first started in business, my curriculum vitae looked skimpy under the publication section. Previously, I attended a training in Medicare set-asides called MSAs, and I decided to write an article on MSAs. My article was an informational interview with the lead MSA allocator in the New York office of the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid. Shortly thereafter, I made a call to join the New York Claims Association, a group of adjusters and vendors doing business in New York State, where I live. The head of membership took down my information and asked me what I did. I told him that I did life care planning, and at the time, I had my certification in Medicare set-asides. Now, that piqued his interest. He asked if I would present on MSAs at a claim association meeting, and I said yes. The lead attorney for the New York State Insurance decided to join the presentation. I also asked the lead MSA allocator I previously interviewed at CMS, and voila, I not only was a member of the New York Claims Association, but now a presenter. I received referrals because of that presentation and my membership. Networking, publishing, exhibiting, speaking, joining associations doesn't always lead to referrals instantaneously. It may take weeks, sometimes months. If you need to sharpen your skills in any of these, say publishing, get more training. The point is, get yourself out there.
And all of those things accumulate to develop relationships with people, to make you more comfortable, to make people feel like they know and they like you and they trust you, and they're ready to recommend you to an attorney who's needing a life care planner.
Mm-hmm.
Life care planning is a different skill than legal nurse consulting in some senses. It does rely heavily on being able to analyze information and prepare a narrative, but it also involves financial aspects. Could you tell us about the skills that you found to be critical for a life care planner to have in order to succeed in this field?
Yes, Pat. I think first, the ability to work independently is critical to the life care planner. That is, the planner is able to take initiative to accomplish the goal. When you get a referral, what are the steps needed to realize the final product, the life care plan? No one is looking over your shoulder directing your every move. Some nurses coming from the hospital environment where activities are very task-oriented have a difficult time working on their own. Working independently doesn't mean you can't work as a team member, however. Collaboration is extremely important in life care planning. Another critical skill for the life care planner is the ability to analyze, as you said, and synthesize sometimes banker box full of records to arrive at an individual's functional capacities, care needs, not only now but in the future. This means reviewing, analyzing all the hospital and medical records, provider records such as physical, occupational, speech and psychology records, expert reports and depositions, if there are any, plus your own nursing assessment. Also included is the ability to recognize the reports and medical information you may be missing in order to take the most accurate projection of needs. Excuse me. Another critical skill is the ability to provide a cost for every component of the life care plan, the financial aspect, as you said. That means identifying a reasonable cost for every item in the plan. For example, medications, diagnostic testing, durable medical equipment, and all the services recommended in the plan. Cost research is important and can be a major area of difference between life care plans submitted for the plaintiff and defense.
I know that you've been working in this area for a while, Linda, and are familiar with the changes in litigation and the healthcare environment. What do you see on the horizon that you believe are going to affect life care planners?
Well, Pat, I'd like to comment on a few changes in the healthcare environment and leave changes in litigation to the legal experts.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare outcomes are not improving in the United States. This year, Dr. Martin Makary, a professor of surgery and healthcare policy and management at Johns Hopkins, and his team published an article in BMJ entitled Medical Error, the Third Leading Cause of Death in the United States. They calculated that in 2013, more than 250,000 deaths occur due to medical error. These figures do not even include outpatient deaths or deaths at home due to medical error. If at least a quarter of a million people die in the United States due to medical error every year, how many individuals are out there who do not die from medical harm but are left with lifelong disabilities? We add all of the people harmed due to medical error, an unknown number, with our changing demographics, and we have, in my opinion, a perfect storm. The changing demographics are aging, the aging population, and the projected nursing shortage. By 2030, 20% or one-fifth of our population will be over age 65. Older adults, as you know, use and need more healthcare services. But what is going to, who's going to care for those older adults? The Bureau of Labor Statistics in the U.S. projects the nursing shortage over the next 10 years is going to be significant. By 2022, there will be over a million job openings for registered nurses. So I see an increased need for life care planners as well as LNCs.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a lot of pressure on the healthcare environment to be able to provide quality of care with changing resources.
Yes.
Do you have any secrets about being a life care planner that you'd like to share as we wrap up this program?
All right. Well, the secret is this. Do what you love by aligning yourself with your interests and values. If I could generalize, many legal nurse consultants, as well as life care planners, love to wear their investigator hat while they are working. As I do, many legal nurse consultants and life care planners are not satisfied with surface information. They love to dig deeper to discover, if you will, the answers, the motives, the facts that can completely turn a case around. You've probably heard the saying, you don't know what you don't know. Get an LNC on a case and you are bound to discover a new slant, perhaps a key bit of information that will help you settle a case. So I'd say that's a secret or a tip. But just as an example, I had to do a life care plan involving a man in his 30s who could no longer work due to multiple trauma. In addition to this man's work injury, he was on methadone. With all of the protections in HIPAA, it is hard to obtain mental health and substance abuse records. However, I kept insisting that we would need the methadone clinic records. When the voluminous handwritten records finally arrived, I learned this man's injury stemmed from a severe beating in the subway rather than as a result of his injury at work. By learning that the injuries related to the subway beating, a life care plan as a result of the work injury was no longer needed. So I combined my legal nursing skills as an investigator with my life care planning skills. Another tip of being a successful LNC or life care planner is having a pristine end product. I listened to one of your podcasts by Mindy Cohen. And she spoke about the importance of having a pristine CV. I'd like to expand that to include your report or life care plan. Some people are good editors, but the majority of us may not pick up all the misspellings, poorly constructed sentences, or descriptions that can easily be misinterpreted. Having another set of eyes always helps. The final report needs to be the best it can be. Unless you are working behind the scenes, your report or plan will be reviewed by many. Another secret of being a successful LNC or life care planner is being able to support your position. An attorney hires you for your expert opinion. It's important to think about how well you can substantiate your findings and how opposing counsel, a judge, or a jury might receive your opinion. the better you support your opinion and clearly articulate your rationale, the more powerful your opinion. It is important to also be mindful of your past testimony, however. Is it in line with your opinion today? If not, what are the variables that make you change your opinion? Opposing counsel will try to impeach your testimony, especially if he or she has a multi-million-dollar demand at stake.
Boy, and I have experienced that firsthand sitting on the witness stand. How can people get in touch with you, Linda, to learn more about your services?
If they'd like to get in touch with me, they can go to rnzone.com, Eusted Life Care Planning, and I have a website that lists the services that I provide. And I just want to end my conversation with you and just encourage as many legal nurse consultants to consider expanding their services to include life care planning, because I think there's going to be a tremendous need.
It certainly sounds like it as you think about the demographics and the health needs that older adults will have. I so much appreciate, Linda, having you on the show talking about life care planning and about your interesting journey and perspective in handling these kinds of cases.
Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate having a chance to talk with you about this.
This has been Legal Nurse Podcast. Pat Iyer talking with Linda Husted about life care planning. We will be back next week with a new interview and a new topic, and I so much appreciate you as listeners sending in your comments and liking the podcasts. Every time somebody likes a podcast, it shows up on my cell phone, and I love looking down at my cell phone and seeing the names of the people who are liking the podcasts. Please send in any thoughts you might have about topics that you'd like to cover. You may communicate with me through LegalNursePodcast.com. Thanks so much, and we'll be back next week with a new show. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.